And recording. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the 8-Bit Soul podcast. I am your host, Armando Testani, and joining me this fine evening is Dee Marchioni. Say hello to everybody, Dee.
Hello, everybody.
Well, we are back. Episode 9 weeks in a row now. I think that's pretty good considering who we're dealing with here. We've got some big things to discuss tonight. Games, comics, TV shows. Dee, I think you might have something you want to get off your chest. You want to kick us off?
Get off my chest? I didn't get to play too much in the last week. I did get into the Heroes of the Storm beta, so I played about 2 rounds of that, and it's like a more simplified version of the MOBAs I've been trying. It seems fun, and it pulls from a lot of Blizzard's history, so I'm going to keep with it, see how it goes. It kind of reminded me how good Hearthstone was, so I started playing a few games of that as well last weekend. Besides that, I had to go up to, Binghamton for a funeral, so the other night I played Don't Starve on my PS Vita, and I got an hour and a half in, and my battery died. So the furthest I've ever gotten in a survival roguelike, and the system itself died.
Binghamton, where the hell is that? Sounds like a shit town.
It's, you know, you go to Bumblefuck, you take a left, and it's just right there.
Oh, I see. Sounds like a shit town, like I said. Speaking of shit town, there was a great song back in the day from Live. Remember them?
Yep.
Yeah, they had a great song called Shit Town. Sometimes I thought that described where I lived. But then I noticed about everybody thinks about that, about their hometown. So I guess I wasn't alone. So it sounds like you were busy not playing games this week. Kind of like me.
Sadly.
I think, I'm still playing Ori and the Blind Forest. And that's all I played this week. And still loving it. There was one part that I got to that I did find really challenging. The Ginso Tree. I don't know if you've gotten to that stage yet or not in the game, but in it, you're supposed to how to describe it, let the fresh water flow through the tree again. You're like cleansing the tree and that part of the forest with clean water. Mm-hmm. And when you get to the top, well, you're not at the top really. There's still more to go because it's like the whole tree is flooding with this rushing water and you need to escape. That part was pretty challenging for me. It took me a while to get through. I was getting frustrated one night. So I said, okay, put it down. I'll come back to it tomorrow night. Went back the next night, probably took another 15 tries before I got through it, but I finally got through it. And it felt good once I got through it. It was like I felt like I accomplished something. So that was pretty good. I like that. But no, still playing it, still loving it.
That's a great game, and I'm actually, like, the more I play it, the more impressed I am with, like, the quality of the platforming.
Like, yeah.
It's not one where you're like, oh, I don't know if controls feel a little floaty or anything. Like, that jump is spot on, and you just stick your landing. The wall jump's awesome. I'm hoping as I go, I unlock some more stuff, but I'm only about 2 hours in.
Yeah, I'm a little bit farther than that. But I agree. Great game. I'm loving it. Still holds. It's beautiful. Controls well. And it's got a great soundtrack, too. So that's really it for me for what I've been playing this week. I know a couple big games came out this week, like Battlefield Hardline. But I'll be honest with you, I have really no desire to play it. So I didn't play it. Mario.
I've kind of been debating buying The Order. The reviews that I read had completely like swayed me away from it.
Right.
But now people that I know that have played it are comparing it to like Uncharted 1, which, while it was the worst of the Uncharted games, it was still an entertaining playthrough. And they said it's really about like the look of the environment, the story's interesting, and those are all things that I was already interested in from the trailers. So if I can find it cheap, I'm going to pick it up and play through. And then cool. I'll just pass it on to one of my friends.
Cool. See, I thought Uncharted 3 was the worst of the Uncharted games. 2 was the best, then 1, then 3.
I think 3 had good set pieces and a really disjointed story.
Hmm.
There were some scenes where I was somewhere and I was like, I don't even know why I'm here.
You got to pay attention. But anywho, Mario Party 8? No, 10. Sorry. Mario Party 10 comes out tomorrow, Friday.
I've never played a Mario Party.
Neither have I, but I've heard good things about it. So I'm kind of interested. I might pick it up tomorrow. I don't know. Because I don't know. You know, I still haven't finished Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker.
I mean, My employees are playing that every day during lunch.
I'm close to the end, but I never finished it because I played other games. And I haven't even finished Assassin's Creed Unity yet either. So,
well, you don't have
to. I don't know if I'm going to go back to that one. What was that?
You don't have to punish yourself.
I know, right? I don't know if I'm going to go back to that one. So, I don't know. I mean, I've got stuff to hold me over for now. And so, we'll see. I don't know. I'm probably just going to finish Ori first and then decide what I want to do.
We're in book 3 of Captain Toads. How many books are there?
I have no idea. I thought there was only 2 books, so I'm close to the end of book 2. So I guess there's a lot more.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. It's definitely worth the, what was it, $40
yep.
for the game? 50? Yeah, definitely worth the $40.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yep. So if you got a Wii U, buy
Captain Toads. It's a must-buy for a Wii U owner.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess that's it for games that we've played, but there's still some game news. And while we're on the topic of Nintendo, there was some big Nintendo news this week. A couple items, really. The first is that Nintendo has confirmed that they're working on their next console. And for now, its code name is the NX, real original. Nintendo boss Satoru Iwata said, and I quote, "Let me confirm that Nintendo is currently developing a dedicated game platform with a brand new concept under the development codename NX." So there you go.
Isn't it funny, though, that even NX is a better name for a system than Wii U?
Yes, I will agree. When I hear NX, though, I'm thinking of Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You know? NX, was it NX7 or something like that? That's what I think of when I hear NX.
Just N7.
N7. Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't know why NX. Yeah, maybe that's Star Trek. I don't know. But they haven't given any more details, but it'll be interesting to see what they come up with since they say it's going to be a brand new concept. I mean, those were his words.
Streaming?
So maybe. I doubt that. No, Nintendo's not that sophisticated. If you look at Nintendo, their online is crap compared to Sony's and Xbox's.
What would make a new concept for a console?
For Nintendo, a new concept would be quality online experience. That would be a new concept for them.
I would love them to do like a Sony version of, I forget what the service is called, but like, where you pay a monthly fee or something and you could play any of the old school games rather than always having to rebuy these things.
What happened to that? Because there was such a big hubbub about it and then it launched and now you hear nothing about that.
The Sony one?
Yeah.
It's too expensive. I mean, the pricing structure killed it.
But it's still out. Does it stream well?
I was in the beta for it. And I streamed some old games, and it was fine. I wasn't streaming like first-person shooters. They were all third-person action. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel like there was much lag or anything. But I do have faster internet than most people.
braggart. Huh. Well, I don't know. I don't foresee myself using it anytime soon because I don't have any PlayStations in the house. But the other big news from Nintendo was their announcement. They actually had a press conference about this, that they will be entering the mobile arena. They held the press conference to announce that they've teamed up with Japanese mobile gaming company Dena, I think they're called. It's like D-E-N-A. And they're going to release new IPs for the mobile gaming market. I think this could be interesting. And I think for those that think that this means we're going to see, you know, Mario Kart 8 or Pokemon Omega Ruby on a smartphone, I think they're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see that at all.
Sure, we could have some, you know, recognizable Nintendo characters, but I don't think it's going to be the games that we, or characters that we really recognize today. You know what I mean? I don't see them doing a Mario platformer on mobile. And I mean,
I could see them doing spin-offs or variations of things, like a touch Pikmin style game for a mobile. But in general, I think we'll get just new experiences.
Yeah, new IPs, and they did say that too. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. It's about time they recognize there's an entire market out there that they're not tapping into. But to be fair, Microsoft's really not tapping into that market either, and neither is Sony. I mean, yeah, they've released a few games and whatnot. You can download Fat Princess for your mobile phone, but it's not the Fat Princess that we love. I mean, that game's great. It's not that. You know, it's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what they do. And there was another announcement. It was actually announced today that the eagerly awaited Star Wars Battlefront will actually debut at the Star Wars Celebration next month. So they're going to be showing that off there, which is kind of cool. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing more on that one. And it's going to be a next-gen game. So that's, well, should we call it next-gen anymore? I mean, it's current-gen, right? The Xbox One and PS4, they're current gen. I wouldn't call them next gen.
Yeah, I think we might be just past that hurdle of it's almost more important to call out if something was last gen.
Yeah, I agree. So that'll be unveiled soon. So that's pretty cool. Looking forward to that. I don't know if there's anything else you really wanted to discuss in gaming news.
Yeah, I see in your notes that you have the Sony View. I don't know what that is.
That's right. The View, what little I know of it. See, I thought you're the Sony guy. I thought you were going to talk about this shit. Not me. Shows who's unprepared tonight.
Anywho, a busy week.
Yeah. Anywho, the View is Sony's answer to Sling and all those other online TV services like Hulu and stuff like that. It's not, you know, anything where they're going to show original programming. It's where they're going to have, you know, a bunch of channels. Basically, Sony's offering their own cable service, but it's all online. And I guess they're saying what's going to set them apart is the experience of watching TV. Now, I really didn't read a lot into it because, to be honest with you, I'm not interested. And you need a PS3 or a PS4 in order to access it. And I have neither, so I could care less. Also, the prices look a little outrageous. I think it starts at $39 and goes all the way up to $59, if I'm not mistaken. Shit. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much a cable package in and of itself.
Yeah, I think.
And then you have to pay for
Netflix
internet.
And Hulu at like $15 and $10, you're just like, yeah, I couldn't imagine paying that much money for.
Yeah, and Sling's offering looks pretty cool. They're $20 and they have $5 package add-ons you can get with additional channels. Mm-hmm. And that actually launched on Xbox One like yesterday or 2 days ago. So you can not only stream it on some mobile devices in your computer, but you can also stream it through your Xbox One now. So that's pretty cool. But, I mean, I have DirecTV and for now – I actually started one of those little spreadsheets where I put all the channels that I watch, you know, the shows that I have on, like my sports channels, sci-fi, Annie, stuff like that, HBO, and was looking to see if what I'm paying now, you know, should I cut the cord, so to speak. And as of right now, there's nothing out there that makes it worth my while to cut the cord. Nothing.
That's interesting. I had no idea you had OCD.
Yeah. I don't have OCD. I was bored at work one day. That's what it came down to. Bored at work and me wanting to see, hey, does it make sense for me to cut the cord? Right now, no. But Apple's rumored to be coming out with something for the Apple TV this fall. And they also had that price cut to $69. So, oh, and they also announced, what was it, HBO, not HBO Go, it's their other streaming service.
HBO Now?
Yeah, HBO Now is going to be $15 a month. And that's going to be pretty much for people who don't subscribe to HBO through their cable provider, or those people who have cut the cord, now they can subscribe to HBO online, and it's $15. And I was thinking about switching to it because, you know, it'll stream everything live as well over the internet. But I'd pay less for my HBO package through DirecTV. So at the end of the day, I wouldn't be saving anything.
Yeah, I think it's more for the person who's like already cut the cord using Netflix and Hulu. It's like you could only pay for that for 1 month and just do binge watching.
Yeah. And that's stuff I looked at, like, you know, if I subscribe to Hulu as well as Sling, I'll get all these channels, blah, blah, blah. But still, for some of that is not like my big thing is I wouldn't be able to watch The Flash live because it would be on Hulu the next day. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be able to stream it live. I might be able to get over the air, the channels over the air, like because I have an HD antenna from a while back. Because where I lived at one time, we didn't have our locals. So I had the HD antenna just going into my DVR. So I might be able to pick up locals that way. I don't know. I haven't tried. But for now, honestly, it doesn't make sense monetarily. So I'll hold off. But, you know, games technology-wise, I think that's it for me this week. I don't have anything else I really want to discuss. You? Are you good?
No, I'm still trying to figure out what game I'm going to buy for my new 3DS. I've still been playing Xenodrifter. And I played a bunch of Pokemon Shuffle, which is like a glorified Bejeweled game.
Yeah, I downloaded that too. I'll admit it, you like it.
Oh yeah, I love Bejeweled. Like all those little matchy games, mm-hmm. I could kill hours on that.
Yeah, so could
It's terrible.
There's some good games. I mean, there's Super Mario Brothers 3D World. Not Super Mario's 3D World. There is Super Mario's 3D Land. Mm-hmm. They have the new Super Mario Brothers 2 for the 3DS. You have the Majora's Mask, which came out as well.
Which I played a demo of that at PAX East and I'd never played it originally. I never even heard, like, hype about it when it originally came out. And then the demo was pretty awesome. Like, just to do a jump, he does, like, friggin' backflips and stuff.
So check it out. Buy it.
I might.
I can download the Wii version right now as a reward on Club Nintendo because I still have a bunch of points. Mm-hmm. So I haven't decided what I'm going to download. But they have the Wii version that I could play on my Wii U. But honestly, I don't really care about that. I might download Super Mario 3D World for my 3DS. That's free. Which is kind of cool because in the stores it's like $30.
Yeah.
And I have enough coins to get that for free.
Cool. So moving on to comics. What have you been reading?
I read the second issue of Silk. Still good. Still liking the artwork a lot, as well as the story. Man, I'm actually really interested to see what's going to happen with these books come Secret Wars in May. Because there's a lot of books Marvel released recently that are only a couple issues in, and who knows what's going to happen. Speaking of Secret Wars, actually, we got some news that came out today regarding it, or yesterday, actually, but we can talk about that a little bit later. Reading-wise, Silk, still good. Read the second issue of Princess Leia. Man, that's a really good book.
Princess Dotson's, Leia?
Yeah.
That artwork Dotson's, is so good.
Yeah, his art continues to shine for me. And they've been telling a great story so far. I actually like this issue better than the first issue. Really looking forward to the rest of the miniseries. And actually, I'm looking forward to see what else Marvel has on tap for the Star Wars books. I know they have one for, oh God, what's his name? It's from that Star Wars Rebels show that's on Disney now. The Jedi there. It's like Kane, something like that. I don't know. Begins with a K. I know they have a miniseries for him debuting next month, I think. I'm not sure. But other than that, I don't know what else they have. Let's see what else. Oh, I read a few new series that came out this week. The first was Invisible Republic. It's by writer Karina Bechko and artist Gabriel Hardman. Actually, they wrote it together, and Hardman is also doing the pencils on it. I have to say, I wasn't all that impressed with the book. Nothing really jumped out at me and made me want to read the next issue. The artwork was okay, but the story felt kind of generic. So I'm not sure whether it's something I'll continue with. So who knows? What'd you read? I mean, I read some more, but I've been talking a lot. You can talk a little bit.
Let's see. I read Red One,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a weird story. Like, the Russians wanted to basically meddle with politics in America.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent over a secret agent to become a superhero. And there's a bit more to it, but I don't want to like ruin,
you know, reading spoil it
for someone. But the artwork is awesome.
Yeah, Terry Dodson, like, again.
Yeah, it's like pinup quality the whole time.
Yeah, this is a creator-owned book from Dodson this time. You know, he's not he's on Princess Leia as well, but this time this is his own book. But yeah, I agree from you. Really good artwork. I like his artwork in general, but you know, this and Princess Leia, he really stepped up his game in these.
I think this is also going to be like possibly an overlooked book by a lot of people. Probably just because, like, with the whole new, like, feminist movement and all that crap going on with everything has to fit this generic, politically correct line. Like, oh, she has her boobs sticking out.
You just pissed off some people.
Perfect. Send us some questions, some rants. We'll read
or
them.
Hate mail to D. Hate mail goes to D.
I love hate mail.
Goes to D. Yeah.
But, yeah, her breasts are just kind of sticking out of a one-piece leather suit, so.
Yeah.
No, it's not really I like falling in line, but she's, yeah, like, a more badass female character than we normally get to see. And I think there's some really good, like, lead-ins for some pretty interesting story arcs, mm-hmm, that you can already see happening. It's a great first issue.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I love the artwork. It was really top-notch. Story-wise, I thought it was pretty good, too. You know, the Russian spy sent to the U.S. on a secret mission. Was that a porn shoot she went to with the director? Because I'm kind of thinking that was a porn shoot. The way they were talking and everything.
I kind of also thought anything, it was, but I wasn't sure.
But I thought so. But it was interesting. I'll definitely stick around for this book. I liked it.
Yeah, me too.
Another book I really liked, which was a number one, was
Chrononauts.
Mark Millar and Sean Murphy's Chrononauts.
I agree. That was awesome.
I like that one a lot.
I started reading it and I just kind of got right into it. I didn't really look at who was writing or who was drawing, and I was like, this looks like punk rock Jesus.
Yeah, same artist. Colored. Yeah.
Which I love. Actually, the art
was better than punk rock Jesus. I like the art better than that one.
I like the first, well, I like motorcycles and the black and white feel and the crosses and stuff was pretty awesome in punk rock Jesus for me, but I think it does look better colored. And this story was cool. Like, it was a great, like, cliffhanger ending, and I'm really interested to see what happens.
Yeah. I'm usually a fan of Millar's writing. So I was already going into this with some big expectations, and man, it did not disappoint for me. I fucking loved it.
Which we should explain a little bit of what it's about.
Yeah. It's about a scientist that creates viable time travel. And unfortunately for them, by the end of the issue, it didn't work out so well for them. The time travel they created was basically a satellite that they could send back in time. The satellite would take pictures. You know, they had one scene, which I thought was awesome, where the satellite was in, traveled back to July 1863, hovering over the Gettysburg battlefield just as it was about to begin the Pickett's charge. And, you know, they were filming it and broadcasting it to people, you know, what would be, I guess, our timeline. Thought that was pretty cool. But then what they did was they took this time travel. He got his buddy, who was an MIT graduate, who was an engineer, good at making things into small packages. He basically took the technology that allowed the satellite to time travel and made it into a suit so individuals could time travel. I thought it was, I mean, I can't say enough good things about this one. The art was great. It was, the writing was spot on. The story was great. I thought it was a great story. You know, they're trying to solve a mystery of how these different items appeared. You know, they found an F-14 Tomcat in some ancient tomb, what was supposed to be the oldest known tomb in the world. And in there is a Tomcat fighter jet, you know, cause
I think the tomb.
Yeah, it's like propped up.
The temple was built around it.
Kind of, yeah. And I think they hinted to that these events were occurring, and maybe they're trying to find out how they're occurring or why they're occurring.
I feel like the scientist was almost saying that it's basically proof of concept that they do succeed with the time travel because these things are happening almost.
Maybe. But I thought it was really good.
Yep. And there was a great Easter egg in there.
Which one?
When they're making the announcement about the suits on the right-hand side of the or on the stage, they have all these things that are showing that were used for time travel. And there's a DeLorean.
Oh, the DeLorean with the wings with the doors open. Yep. Yeah. I thought they were gonna because you saw it there. I thought they were maybe gonna say, "Hey, we made it smaller than a satellite. It's a car," but they didn't. So that was. But yeah, no, that was pretty cool. I would say that it's probably my pick of the week, Chrononauts. I thought it was really, really good. Really liked it. Looking forward to more.
I'm gonna agree. That the Gettysburg scene kind of put it over the top for me.
I thought that was cool. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big Civil War buff. I think I mentioned that once before. So I was like, ooh, Gettysburg. But, I mean, it didn't last long. It was only like a page, page and a half.
Oh, but I still did read Batgirl.
Oh, how was that? Which Batgirl? Issue 40? I read
Batgirl Endgame, issue 1.
Uh-huh.
Which is a little strange because it is basically just one act that she does during the Batman Endgame storyline. So Gotham's under attack. There's been a neurotoxin released that's changed most people into like crazies. And she rescues one person. And that's all the story's about. The artwork is really good. But one of the interesting things that they did, it's almost a little too hipster the way it's done for me, but I could see a lot of people enjoying it. Is there isn't really any talking in this. It's all done through looking at cell phone screens and laptop screens, and the majority of it are emojis.
I hate when they do that emoji shit. I was going to say, it sounds like an interesting concept, but then you said emojis, and yeah. I have it in my pile. I just haven't read it yet.
The artwork's really good, and the emojis actually kind of fit the art style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of this one-off, almost like a breather issue. I don't know. I guess I'm not sure why it's called Endgame Issue 1.
Well, I think it's supposed to take place during the Endgame that's going on in Batman.
Yeah, it definitely is.
So I think it's supposed to run concurrent to that. But I could be wrong. I mean, I haven't read it yet, but I think that's why.
I guess I don't know why that's...
Why could they have just
wanted
done
another storyline instead of it being...
Well, if you look at, you know, the current Batgirl, you're not seeing interaction with Batman, so they kind of have to have their own...
Oh, he's not in this either.
So, but yeah, but she was in, she's in Endgame in Batman. She's in that, and she's also in Batman Eternal. So...
So it's just showing what she's doing.
Yeah.
Are we going to get more, like, because basically...
More Endgames?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't read that one, but, you know, speaking of Batgirl, I was going to discuss this a little bit later, but DC's gotten into some controversy this past week, and probably the biggest reason is Batgirl. For the number 41 issues that are going to be released in June, DC was doing a Joker variant cover. So it's not for the new number ones that are coming out. It was only the issues that were at number 41. So it wasn't going to be for every book. It was just those. So Batgirls was going to be an homage to The Killing Joke, which was a classic graphic novel released in the 80s, written by Alan Moore and drawn by Brian Boland, who, God, I loved his artwork back in the day. He was an amazing artist. He still is an amazing artist, but personally, I think it's a great piece of work. But there are people who have an issue with it. And now, apparently, these people are now upset over Raphael Albuquerque's cover, which featured the Joker holding a terrified Batgirl. He's dressed in the same duds that he was wearing in The Killing Joke. And if you're not familiar, The Killing Joke, what happened was the Joker shot her, and she wound up paralyzed. And this is actually why she became Oracle. And fun fact, this Batgirl series that's going on now is the first time we've got Batgirl with Barbara Gordon as Batgirl. In all the other Batgirl series, she was never Barbara Gordon. It was somebody else. But this is the first, because she was Oracle at mm-hmm. that point. But, you know, what the Joker did was he shot her, knocked on the door, she opened up, bam, shot her, and then he undressed her and took pictures of her. If I'm not mistaken, took pictures of her nude or partially nude and sent them to her dad, Jim Gordon. He did this because he wanted to drive him crazy. Unfortunately for the Joker, it didn't work. But that was a real pivotal point in Barbara Gordon's life. I mean, that's why she was put in a wheelchair. That's why she became Oracle. You know, it didn't hold her back. She became Oracle. She was the go-to person for a lot of people in the DC universe. She was the linchpin for the Birds of Prey. She overcame what happened to her, and she did something great with her life. Now, people are complaining that this has negated all of that, this particular cover. We've got the Joker wearing the same clothes as he was when he shot her. He's holding her from behind. He's got one arm around her. And with his other hand, he's making the motion like a gun. Like, he's got it to her head. And she's got this petrified look on her face with tears in her eyes. And it kind of, the Joker kind of did that smile with the red makeup on her face. And a lot of people apparently have an issue with it. Now, I liked the image. I thought it was a great image. It evoked a lot of emotion because somebody who read The Killing Joke, I liked it. I was not offended by this image at all. They didn't like how it was an homage to a book they didn't like, I think, basically. You know, the author of Batgirl came out and said that the cover didn't fit the new tone of the book, of the new Batgirl. Well, no shit, it's a variant cover, you know? None of the variant covers fit the tone of the books. That's why it's a variant cover. I heard arguments online that you would never see a male character on a cover crying. I'm like, these people are – it's clear as day these people have not fucking read a comic book, because I could get 10 issues just off the top of my head where it had – one has Superman holding a dead body crying – kneeling down. There's another one of Batman crying. There's a cover of Joker after he beat the shit out of somebody with a crowbar. I mean, there is a lot of offensive things and a lot of bad things that have happened to male characters on covers in comic books. But I don't see anybody getting all worked up about that. So these people, it's clear as day, a lot of these people did not read comics at all.
I did read a couple articles, actually, and they're like about 4 or 5 paragraphs in. They're like, let me be clear that I haven't read these comics. And you're just like,
so why are you commenting? It's just like, shut the fuck up. I got into a discussion with somebody on Polygon, of all places, because for some reason now Polygon has decided to start covering games and movies and comics and TV instead of just games. I think they should just stick to games, because half the time they don't know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to the other shit. But that's just me.
But this person's like,
was that?
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, really. I have my issues with some of the reviewers at Polygon to begin with, and now they're getting all preachy over there about shit they don't know what they're talking about. But I got into a discussion there with somebody. They're like, oh, well, in the New 52, you know, none of that stuff ever happened. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? The first few issues of Batgirl were about her going to rehab and overcoming, you know, what happened to her, because now she can walk again. I mean, they literally show her in rehab, physical rehab. And this person's like, oh, it never happened. It's like, shut the fuck. You don't know what you're talking about. And like, what, did this just happen in a few months? I'm like, did you just jump on reading when the new creative team was announced? Because they're on issue 40. And
the new team took over like 4 issues ago.
So, you know?
Apparently they don't know they come out every month.
They have no clue what they're talking about. They're just, you know, jumping on an issue thinking, oh, hey, I see some people on the internet are pissed about this. So I'm going to get pissed too. Even though I've never read an issue, it's like, yeah, it just annoyed me. You know, I saw the cover as someone who is still dealing with those demons. Yes, she overcame what happened to her. She moved on. She did a hell of a job, Barbara Gordon. She became a great character. You know what I mean? She went back and became Batgirl again, kicking ass. Helping Batman, helping everybody else. She's got her own title. She's doing great in her title. She did something great with her life. And people are complaining that this negated all of that. I don't see it that way. She's still dealing with those demons, you know?
Yeah, and not to mention, this is basically the Joker that has been brought back into the Batman series. I mean,
it is.
He chopped off Alfred's hand. He shot her dad.
Yeah.
And
people seem to think the Joker is like out of the animated series, you know, just laughing or going around laughing and doing stupid shit. It's clear they've never read the comics, because he's a sadistic motherfucker in the comics. He is a villain. He's a murderer. He has killed people. He paralyzed Barbara Gordon. He shot her. And then he took pictures of her semi-nude to try to drive her father insane. He is not some happy-go-lucky guy who doesn't do anything. He kills people. He's a fucking psycho. People need to realize people. That.
He killed a robin with a crowbar.
He beat him to death with a crowbar. He literally beat him to death. Well, not literally. It's a comic book. But, I mean, in the comics, he beat the shit out of a robin and killed him with a crowbar. This is the Joker. This isn't some, you know, cartoon version. This is the Joker. So I didn't see anything wrong with this cover. But a great many people who don't even read the comic do. So they pretty much found their cause for the week. And at the end of the day, DC and Albuquerque decided not to publish the cover, which is a damn shame, really, because it's a great looking piece. He claimed, you know, you got to respect the artist. He asked them not to publish it. And I respect him for doing that. But I think the reasons are wrong because he felt a lot of pressure from people. From people who clearly have not read the comic book. Now, I know there could be a lot of backlash to this, and that's fine. And, you know, hey, I'll have a discussion with you over it, and I don't mind. But I also had to laugh. I have to say, I had to laugh at the current Batgirl writer, Cameron Stewart, who argued that a variant cover, and I remind you, it is a variant cover.
Meaning you don't hardly ever have to buy it. There's a normal cover.
Exactly. And they hardly have anything ever to do with the story inside. Doesn't fit the tone of the book. If they wanted to fit the tone of the book, they should have showed a steaming pile of crap. Because sadly, that's what Batgirl has become since they took over. Or they could have just put a picture of some Brooklyn hipster. Because that's what they made her into. And it was funny because he was, you know, he made his argument as the writer of Batgirl and you know, it doesn't fit my tone, blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, he's on Twitter. Now he's protecting all of his tweets. It's like, come on, dude. You know, stand up. How many of these other covers? I saw a varying cover. You know, they have this movie month this month with the DC covers. Like different covers have basically rip-offs, not rip-offs, but homages to movies and stuff like that. And Batgirl's variant cover this month is an homage to Purple Rain. Yep, Prince's Purple Rain. You know that infamous shot of on the motorcycle and stuff? And
yep.
Yeah, it's an homage to that. And oh, might I add you? There's a song on there called Darling Nikki. On that album that they're making an homage to about a sex fiend, about this woman who's a sex fiend. And it's not a very flattering song, but apparently it's okay because it's Prince and they're making an homage to Prince. So I guess that's okay. But I didn't hear any complaints when the Justice League's comic was it Superman, Green Lantern, all those guys ripping off the Magic Mike, that famous Magic Mike scene where they're all coming out on stage topless in the pants. That's their homage for Justice League. Isn't that sexualizing the men? But I don't know. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to get into the politics of it or what's right or what's wrong. But I just wanted to talk a little bit about that controversy with that cover. But apparently, you know, people pick and choose their battles and sometimes people need to educate themselves. Anyway.
There was one thing I wanted to mention. It made me think of it. Of people that aren't reading comics, but they're trying to pretend that they are all into comics. I don't know if you read Batgirl number 37, but on the cover, it looks like Batgirl is wearing this suit made of gold glitter. But if you read the comic, you realize that's the bad guy in the issue.
Oh, yeah, and it was a cross-dresser, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cross-dresser.
Yeah.
And
there
like
are a lot of girls
stuff.
Cross-dressing as that guy right now. Or not cross, cosplaying
yeah.
as that guy right now. And I think that they think they're Batgirl.
Yeah. I think there was a little bit of controversy with that, too, because they were making some disparaging remarks about the guy in the issue. Mm-hmm. And people were like, oh, they're picking on transgender people or cross-dressers. I was just like, ugh, I can never win with some people. Anywho, I probably just pissed off a lot of people, but that's okay. You know, DC, you know, had more controversy. And this had to do with the costumes. Have you seen the new redesign costumes? Apparently, a lot of people don't like the costumes that they've introduced, redesigns, especially Wonder Woman's. Looks like a lot of people don't like her new costume. And then again, you're going to have those who like her. They released images for the new look Wonder Woman, Superman, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and The Flash. Now, I've never been a big Wonder Woman fan, but I can see why people don't like it. To be blunt, it looks kind of dumb. I don't care if people think it's practical or not. I think having those shoulder pads on her costume and those wrist blades just looks stupid. And to be honest, impractical. This is a woman who's got her golden lasso and, you know, she's always swinging it at people. And you have these big, bulky shoulder pads.
It sounded like you just described Cable from the mid-90s.
Yeah, well, no, they're not as big as Cable's from the mid-90s, but check it out. It doesn't look good. And so a lot of people were, you know, picking on that as well. And then you had the other side, which were like, oh, it's about time. They didn't sexualize a woman, and they gave her a costume that was practical. Listen, I don't give a shit about that, because Captain Marvel, I loved the old Captain Marvel when she was Miss Marvel. Love that old outfit she wore. But you know what? When she became Captain Marvel 2, the costume she wears now is fucking awesome, and I think it looks great on her. Why? Because it's practical. Because she's spending a lot of time in space. So I wouldn't want her to go around wearing something that looks like a bathing suit in space. Wear something practical. I think it looks great. The new Miss Marvel, the teenage girl, I think her new costume looks great too. I have no issues with it. You know, and that's a great book too. So I think people just want to bitch just to bitch.
But Alex Ross redid Wonder Woman's costume.
She's had
probably
so many
like 10 years costume. Ago where he gave her like the black pants and it looked like the shirt went into it.
Yeah.
And that was a really unsuccessful series.
She's gone through so many costume changes, and they always go back to the traditional Amazonian costume. So, but you know, Superman's new costume, ugh, I wouldn't really call it a costume though. It's him wearing a pair of jeans with buzzed hair.
Oh, I saw that. He's like a brawler.
It's him in jeans, buzzed hair, and a t-shirt with a Superman logo on it. That's real original. They just made it super easy to cosplay as him now. You know, you can be like, oh, you cosplaying as Superman? No, dude, I'm just wearing a Superman t-shirt and jeans. So that's how easy it'll be.
That is
the
fine.
Flash?
Well, I don't have the black background for the S, though. That's how they made it difficult.
No.
It's harder to get that
black
shirt.
Background.
The one I saw, it had a black background like the original.
Oh, I didn't see that. No, the Flash looks more in line with the TV show, and Arrow is just kind of eh. But then there's Green Lanterns. He's ditched the ring, but that's part of the story. He's ditched the ring and now wears like a gauntlet with a hoodie. I swear DC's gone and turned some, you know, making their characters look worse. It's like they're lazy in the art department. I swear. That could just be me though, but I mean, I wasn't a fan of those at all. I don't like the redesigns at all, especially Green Lanterns. I mean, I know, you know, part of his story is, I'm not going to get into it here, but, you know, he's moving on from being a Green Lantern because he did some things, some not so nice things. But I don't know. It's just, and for me, DC is always taking a hit when they try to redesign costumes. It doesn't work. What do you think of them?
So far, I just found him. I really don't like Wonder Woman's. it's basically looks like a suit of armor.
Yeah.
Which, that's going to be kind of weird. Especially when now we have Superman wearing a t-shirt. So
yeah. And if those wrist blades together, on her.
Yeah, the wrist blades look like Azrael when from Batman.
They look terrible.
Yeah, they're... I don't get it. Yeah, that feels like a 90s type of thing.
Yeah.
And we've already seen the Superman wearing a t-shirt and jeans. Like, we've had a few now. We've had Superman... Oh, what was that? One? Earth One?
I don't know. I didn't read that one.
What it was called, but... I mean, even Superboy in general is...
Yeah, Superboy dressed like that a lot.
Yeah, so it's not like this is kind of a new direction to go. But if you take Wonder Woman and this design of Superman, they're going to look really out of place even standing next to each other.
Uh-huh.
I understand that Superman doesn't really need anything, but I would assume once he hits... a sonic boom, his clothes are just gonna tear off.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out. But moving on to something different. Earlier, I mentioned the Secret Wars. And, well, Marvel's released some more information on this huge event. And I think it's a big one. There's going to be 33 books that are ending once Secret Wars begins. 33, that's a shit ton, dude.
That is crazy.
You know they're going to replace it. Well, Marvel's been announcing premieres for this miniseries or that miniseries or this or that. And to be honest, they've done kind of a shitty job handling all of these announcements. But I'm bummed about them... this recent announcement ending 33 new books, but ending 33 books, because I really dig some of these books, like All New X-Men, Amazing X-Men, The Avengers, especially Captain Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy, Inhuman, Legendary Star-Lord, Nova, Amazing Spider-Man, even Thor. Man, a lot of good books are ending. You know, I'm not sure some, I'm sure some, if not many, will return in a new fashion once this whole Secret Wars and Battle Worlds is over. But, I mean, I kind of like the way they are now. I know Captain Marvel is going to return as Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, which sounds kind of... cool, actually. They released a promo image for it. I think it's different, Captain Marvel and the Carol Corps, because, you know, she's Carol Danvers.
I know, but it just sounds like they're carolers.
Okay. The image is pretty cool looking. Check it out online if you want. I'm interested in that one, but I just have to say, this whole Secret Wars thing is so confusing. With all the titles that are ending, with all the new ones that are starting, the new miniseries, everything about it is just so jumbled. You know, Marvel, they've done a terrible job in how they've handled all of this. I just, at this point, I'm already ready for it to be done. You know?
I'm still excited for it. I'm hoping we get some kind of reveal on the level of, like, remember the original where we had Spider-Man in the black costume?
Yeah.
Like, I hope we get something like that where you're just like, this issue, this was amazing.
I hope so too. It's just, oh man. I don't know.
I think that the X titles could use a large streamlining.
Oh god,
there's
yes.
just too many. And it's weird that, like, there are so many single character series, like Cyclops and Storm, and I don't know if it almost makes it too much work to read and keep up with these.
There's a lot. I agree, though. They should have maybe three or four. They should have X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, where you have two teams, two separate teams. you know, mm-hmm. we don't need all new X-Men. We have X-Men, Uncanny X-Men. Then you can have one that takes place at the school, because the school is now open with all the students, and focus on like that, like New Mutants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You have X-Men, Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, what was it called? What was the one called in the like 90s, and they tried to do a TV show for it? Where like Chamber and...
New Mutants? Oh, Generation X.
Generation X. I'd like that to come back. It's the title.
Generation X. Yeah. And then they can have one where it's like they could take different characters and each issue could focus on a different character and have their own solo adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You don't need more. You don't need Storm having her own, because quite frankly, the last few issues have been pretty crappy.
Wolverine. Cyclops.
Yeah, Wolverine's. Oh, you know he's coming back. You know Wolverine's coming back.
I hope he's like the thing that comes back in the Secret War.
You had Wolverine and the X-Men, and now you have Spider-Man and the X-Men, which sucks.
Sadly.
There's just too many. Yeah, there's too many X titles.
I loved Wolverine and the X-Men, especially with B'Challo drawing it. That was a fun.
Yeah, that was a good book. That was good. But man, there's so many good comic books out there. So many good comic books. And, you know, I've got so many to recommend to people that are not from DC or Marvel either. Dark Horse puts out some great comics. Image has been putting out some great comics.
Yeah, even IDW. The 9 weeks we've been doing this, we've seen a lot of number ones popping up that are all really good.
Yeah, and it's a shame because a lot of those are from Marvel, too,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know what's going to happen to Silk or Howard the Duck, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I want Spider-Gwen to stay around.
But what's going to happen to her? Because this whole
Well, that's the thing, though. I want just Spider-Gwen to stay separate. I don't want her to get dragged in and then that world changes.
But it's not going to happen because they said they're getting rid of all the different worlds and they're streamlining it into one world.
It's crap.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It'll only be that way for like a day.
Yeah. Oh, you know, in like 5-10 years, they're going to create Earth 621 or whatever, or the, you know, they're going to be like, oh, we're relaunching the Ultimates. You know, because I can tell you right now. During Secret Wars, we're going to have, because they already said they're going to get rid of the Ultimates universe. The Nick Fury that's going to be in the new Marvel universe is going to be the one from the Ultimates universe who looks just like Samuel L. Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the new Nick Fury. Because Marvel, you know, they've got this huge, huge franchise now in, with their cinematic universe. So I could definitely see them trying to streamline this a bit between the characters. Definitely.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yep. Speaking of movies, and not really movies, but TV, I tried to do a good segue. Didn't work all that well, you know? The Flash returned after a few weeks off, and man, was that an excellent episode.
That was, I really liked it.
Yeah, I especially love the ending there. Spoilers about this episode, so if you don't want to hear it, fast forward a minute or two. Ready? Spoilers. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. All right, they're done. The Professor Wells is Eobard Thawne. How awesome was that?
That was a great reveal.
Yeah, and he's from centuries in the future. That was great. I loved the reveal. And I loved how he admitted that he's a descendant of Eddie Thawne, the cop. And that death scene was pretty cool, too.
Yep.
Where he was just vibrating that hand, really.
Mm-hmm.
And how he just puts it into Cisco. And he's like, well, in my future, you've been dead for centuries, so it doesn't matter. Mm. Oh, and Barry time traveling.
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing about it was they did the... for the foreshadowing in the episode itself, and then when you got back to that point, it really did tie it together and make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it also allowed big things to happen that probably aren't going to happen the same way again. Like, I think the Flash will save Cisco in some way.
You think he will? Well, it's already clear that he's created an alternate timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe traveled into an alternate timeline. I mean...
Well, we'll have to see, like, what method of time travel theory does the Flash show take?
Right.
Is it, like, you know, Back to the Future?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it just that is what the timeline is? Oh, actually, it has to be Back to the Future because Dr. Wells was always checking some kind of computer that kept showing him different versions of the future.
No.
Wasn't it?
It was showing a newspaper. It was like a newspaper. And he wanted to always to make sure that the headline stayed the same.
Yeah, but when it didn't, he went and like corrected things.
Right. So it stayed the same. Because Dr. Wells needs Barry in order to get back to his timeline.
Which I had always thought that I thought the time travel was easier if there wasn't another speedster.
No, doesn't matter about the other speedster.
No?
No.
Hmm.
Doesn't matter. I thought it was a great episode, and I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. I have a feeling we might see Vibe this season.
I don't know who Vibe is.
Educate yourself, young man.
I've never read Flash.
It's who Cisco turns into.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Caitlin turns into someone, too, as well.
I knew that one already.
Oh, okay. I mean, it's a little different than the comic, obviously. They take some liberties and, you know, do some things differently. But it's pretty close. And, the comic will give you a hint as to where it's going.
Cool.
So, I liked it. I thought it was good. Arrow, on the other hand, it was okay. I was hoping it would have been better. And I don't really have many positive things to say about it. So, I guess the less said, the better.
It
wasn't bad.
For some reason, I really liked it. But when I went, like, when I started to take notes, I didn't know why. Because I'm really disappointed that Ollie was so easily convinced not to become Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
I was like, this would be awesome, and it solves so many problems.
Yep.
You become the League of Assassins leader. You tell everybody, guess what? You're going to be heroes. You're not going to kill anymore. Beat the shit out of people. Throw them in jail.
And Starling City saved.
And you have your own army.
That's right. Starling City could be very safe.
Yep.
And a lot of criminals would be dead or behind bars.
Yeah, if I got that offer, I'd take it in a heartbeat.
Exactly.
Actually, the one thing I was excited about is that we found out the Lazarus Pit is real in this universe.
Yes. So
there were a lot of people speculating that it didn't exist. And not only did we hear about it, we got to see it heal Ra's al Ghul's hand.
Yep. I'd be all over that. I'd be like, oh, I get to live how long? Oh, hell's yes. I would have been him, Ra's al Ghul, but that's just me. Just me. Speaking of the Flash and Arrow, word is now that Dominic Purcell, who plays Mickey Rory, also known as Heatwave, will be joining the anticipated Flash Arrow spinoff show. So now we've got Captain Cold and Heatwave, along with the various heroes. I'm not exactly sure how this will work, but let's just say I'm already looking forward to it. And can you guess why?
Because of your man crush on
Firestorm. Yep, Firestorm. Love Firestorm. Love that character. So, you know, I will definitely be watching it.
I don't think I ever asked you, why do you love Firestorm? Is there, like, one series that I could read to find out? Like,
no, honestly, because there have been some pretty crappy Firestorm series. I think it has to do with when I was a kid and the cartoons. And he was on there. And I just saw him as somebody different with his head on fire. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And his outfit. And I got an action figure of his. And to me, it was the coolest thing. And I always liked the concept of Firestorm. And I always liked him. I just something about him. Like, I can't tell you why I love Green Lantern. Think it's a great book. Always loved
it. For me, it was Green Lantern. Green Lantern Corps. And core? Actually all the...
Core.
And all anime.
Even though there have been a lot of corpses. Corpses.
Well, no, not Black Lanterns. I'm talking Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But that and the animated ones have been pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Which animated one did you watch?
Recently? Yeah. Or I think I've seen all of them.
Did you see the Green Lantern TV show, that animated series that was on TV?
It was I've only seen the movies.
Oh, you should check that out. It's actually pretty good.
I will.
Because it's pretty cool. They show like red lanterns in it.
Oh, that's
blue lanterns. Yeah, the indigo. Yeah, it was cool. They did a good job with that show. It was a shame that it didn't last long. But yeah.
I think that for me, that was the best part of Green Lantern, was to go from Green Lantern Corps to Sinestro War, Darkest Night, Brightest Day.
That whole time then when Geoff Johns was writing and stuff?
Yep. Oh,
fantastic. That was fantastic. That was really good.
You know what character I love and I can't tell you why? Gambit.
Hmm.
And even anytime I even hear like, oh, we're going to get a live action Gambit, I'm just like, I don't want to see that.
You know, we are going to have a live action Gambit, right?
Well, we already had one.
Yeah.
The next one's going to be Magic Mike.
Oh, God. Fucking hate Channing Tatum. I hate him.
And they hate him trying to do a Cajun accent.
Oh, my God. It's going to be terrible. He's going to be like, dance off. Let's have a dance off. As he rips his shirt off. Fuck him. So many other better choices out there, and they go with him. Really? Him. I'm sure I just pissed off more people by saying that too, but I'm pissing off a lot of people tonight, probably. Oh, speaking of pissing people off, there is some news on the Preacher show that's being developed by Seth Rogen for AMC. Ruth Negga has been cast as the first official member of the Preacher show cast, whatever you want to call it. She's going to be playing the role of Tulip. You ever read that book?
I read the first volume.
Oh, I loved Preacher.
I didn't get into it.
Amazing book. Tulip is a main character who's also the love interest and ex-girlfriend of the title Preacher, Jesse Custer. Negga, you might know her from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She plays Raina on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no word yet whether or not she's going to do both. You know, will Preacher prevent her from continuing in the Raina capacity of S.H.I.E.L.D. or not? Or, I mean, we don't even know what's going to happen to Raina by the end of the season yet, so who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But I also find this casting a bit of a curiosity, because if you didn't know, Negga is an Ethiopian-Irish actress. So she's of mixed race. Now, I'm not going to comment on this, but let's just say that on the internet, there are some very happy people, and there are some very angry people about this. Now, if you've read Preacher, you know Tulip, how she was raised, the type of society she was raised in.
Can you give a little blurb about what Preacher is about for people that don't know?
Okay. Preacher is a story about this preacher, Jesse Custer, who kind of has this entity from heaven enter his body. And he has the capacity to pretty much influence people and make them do whatever he tells them to do. So him and Tulip and, oh God, what's his name? The Irish vampire there. Oh my God, I forgot his name. But it's the three of them. They're the three main characters. It's Tulip, Jesse Custer, and He's an Irish vampire. And damn you for not remembering the name.
It's been like 15 years since I read that.
It's been a while since I read it too. They set off and try to find God, basically. You know, why does he have these powers? What did they do? Cassidy. Yeah. Cassidy's his name. That's it. So Cassidy, Tulip, and Jesse set off to find out where God is, what's going on, why he has these powers, and it's a whole adventure for them. You know, there's factions out there who want to control him. There's a religious cult / military faction that wants to get that gift of God and give it to these people who they see as the descendants of Jesus. There's some fucked up stories in that series, but overall it's a really great series. But part of it is, you know, they come from the South, Tulip and Jesse. They were raised down there in that culture. Jesse, his family actually accepted Tulip when they were dating. You know, Tulip was raised by her dad. Her mom died when she was in childbirth, raised by her dad and her older brothers. You know, she was raised fishing and hunting and all that crap. But Jesse's family's pretty racist. Reading the book, you see that they're racist. You know, they like Tulip, but they're racist. So having Tulip now be a person of color, how is that going to influence the story? So, you know, I saw people arguing the positives and the negatives of it. I'm not going to get into that here. I just thought I'd share that news because she is the first official cast member. There's rumors that they're trying to get, Dominic Cooper, who plays Howard Stark in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. There's rumors they're trying to get him to play Jesse Custer. Now, in real life, I heard that Cooper and Nega were dating or maybe are still dating. So who knows? But, you know, it'll be interesting to see where they go with this. Seth Rogen and his partner, they're the one that he did all the movies with. They're developing the show. They're producing it. But I heard they also wrote the pilot and they're going to direct it too. So I am cautiously optimistic about this show. Because I love the show and I want to see it get done. Because, you know, for years they talked about adapting it for movie or a miniseries or on HBO or something. But now it's finally going to be on AMC. I'm just worried it's going to be like that shit Superbad that he wrote. Because that movie super sucked. So, I don't know. I'm going to hold off on my reservations until I see it.
But yeah, I find it to be a weird even tone of story for Seth Rogen.
Yeah, and on AMC too, because it's really geared towards adults, that book. So, you know they're going to have to cut shit out.
Well, yeah, I mean, this is America. TV. You can have zombies eating people, but you can't have that kind of sex happening.
You can have breasts, you know. I mean, it would work fine on HBO. They could get away with whatever they want there, and it would fit fine on HBO or Stars or Showtime or something. But on AMC... I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. Oh, you know what I did watch? iZombie.
How was that?
I had read the first issue of the comic and really didn't like it. So I never read anymore. And I said, screw it. I don't want to watch the TV show. But for some reason, I wanted to check it out. So we did. I said, you know what? Let's tape it and we'll give it a shot. The former Veronica Mars, the former Veronica Mars head and creator, Rob Thomas, is producing this, and he was involved in the premiere. I think he wrote the pilot, maybe, or directed it. But it definitely had a Veronica Mars vibe to it, and that is a good thing because I thought that was a pretty good show. I liked Veronica Mars. It had the voiceover going like it did in Veronica Mars, where she's explaining things, talking about things. It had that sharp, witty dialogue. The acting was good. It was pretty good. It definitely had that Veronica Mars feel to it, and I liked it. I was pleasantly surprised. Now, if you've read the comic, just be forewarned, because while it's got the same premise, it has very little to do with the comic. Yes, it's about a girl that becomes a zombie and she eats people's brains and gains their memories, but that's pretty much where it stops. In the show, she's not a gravedigger. It doesn't take place in Oregon. It takes place in Seattle. She was a doctor, a med student, who died in this incident, became the zombie. Now she works in the morgue because she has easy access to brains. She doesn't have a ghost friend like she did in the comic, or a were-terrier friend. But, you know, I mean, it was only the first issue, so who knows what happens. It's honestly, it's pretty different from the book.
But still good on its own.
Yeah, but I wasn't a fan of the book, so maybe this one will be better. Cool. For first episode, I thought it was pretty good. I like this one scene where the coroner she works with kind of figured out that she's a zombie, and he tells her, and she's explaining what happened and how she became a zombie and her hungers and how she gets the memory. And it was really well done in that they explained it all for you. So it doesn't matter if you've never heard of iZombie or seen it or read an issue or anything, they laid it all out. But the way she was laying it out was she was telling him. So they were using him as the point of entry for the viewer. Mm-hmm. So she's telling him, but in reality, she's explaining it to us. I thought they did a really good job with that. I liked it. I heard it got good numbers.
I'll have to check it out. I didn't get a chance to see that one.
And it got positive reviews as well.
That's cool.
So I thought it was pretty good. I liked it. I thought it was a good job.
I didn't even read the comic just because I saw them using like the iPod version of putting a little I before a word, and I was just
The Apple. Yeah,
I'm not sure this is worth money.
I read the first issue and I was like, oh, I really don't like it. So I had written off the show, but I'm glad I checked it out. You know, the wife and I both liked it. It was pretty cool because Mike Allred, the artist on iZombie as well, he did art for this. Mm-hmm. He did like some of the opening credits and some of the other art, and it was kind of cool because throughout the episode, they would have, like 5 hours ago, you know, that little thing would pop up. So, you know, it happened 5 hours ago, but the way they did it looked like it was a comic book, like it came out of a comic book page.
Cool.
So some of that, that was pretty cool. Some of the transitions looked like it was going from one panel to another. So it was pretty cool. I liked it. I would recommend it to people to give it a shot. If you have, a mobile phone, which I'm sure a lot of people do, a smartphone, excuse me, or a tablet, or even if you have access to the CW app, which I'm not sure about the PS4, but I know there's a CW app on the Xbox and Xbox One, you can watch the premiere for free.
Cool.
I thought it was pretty good. And it's on Tuesdays at 9 after Flash. So I thought they did a good job. I liked it a lot. TV-wise, I don't really have much else to talk about. There was a Walking Dead. That was a pretty fucked up episode. Lots of death. Lots of gore. Nothing else on my end, I don't think.
Well, I saw an episode of Top Gear that was new, and I was kind of surprised because Jeremy Clarkson had some kind of issue where he punched somebody, a director or producer, in the face, and then got suspended. And they're like, there's not going to be any more Top Gear. But this was a pre-recorded trip that they did. So I was like, oh, good. At least I get to see a McLaren P1 and a Lamborghini.
Cool. I'm not a fan of Clarkson. I think he's a bit of a douchebag.
But yeah, I think he falls into that problem basically the same reason why I don't bother to learn a lot of actors' names and stuff is I don't want to know them as people. I just want to know the characters they're playing. Because a lot of times, getting to know who they are as a person can ruin it for me.
Right.
Which is why I usually can't help you out when you're like, oh, what is that actress' name? Like,
yeah, you're pretty useless when it comes to that. Oh, man. Anywho, I think I'm done.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? We done?
Sure.
Well, look at that. We're going to be episode 10 next week. 10!
Double digits.
Double digits. Yay!
Send us some emails so we can read emails.
Yeah, really. Oh, I did get a tweet from one of our listeners. Thank you. They let me know that they watched one of the shows I was talking about, Mr. Selfridge. That English show.
Still on my list of shame.
I like the show, so screw you. They let me know they watched actually 10 episodes already of that. So that's pretty cool, and they like it. So, hey, glad to hear it. You know, we'll definitely give more recommendations and stuff you should watch, like iZombie. Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that. It's good to see our listeners take some of our advice and enjoy it. That's the better part. Glad to hear they enjoy it. But I think that's it. Thank you for listening. If you like this podcast, you know what to do. Please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher. Before we go, let's just plug some of our sites. Head on over to 8bitsoul.com. You can head on over to Twitter and follow us at 8bytes, 8bites. My Twitter handle is Juventus, JUVENTUZ, and D's is Marchione, MARCHIONE. You can like our Facebook page and follow us on Instagram at 8bit_soul, or check out our YouTube page. And don't forget, subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher. And if you like us, write a review. We like those. We've gotten a couple more on iTunes, so thank you. I think that's it. Thanks, everyone. We will see you next week. Say bye, D.
Peace.